Namaste. Welcome to Design Your Business for Who You Are by Nature with your Dharma Archetype. This is the second of three free calls that I'm giving this month to help you fearlessly call forth your work of unmistakable vision, maturity, and depth. I'm Rebecca Ramadevi Preen, founder of Ompreneur. Namaste is a Sanskrit address that means the sacred in me honors the sacred in you. It is from that space of sacredness that I honor you and your work. For the divine manifests and acts in the world through you. How you open to that grace and meet that challenge is your Dharma. That's what we'll be talking about today. Your Dharma calls you to be fully alive. It calls you to serve the world. Here's the thing about Dharma. You cannot be anyone you want. You can only be yourself. That's not a very popular notion, perhaps, in an era of the self-made person, in the era of choosing and creating that which we desire. Your Dharma is you acting out of your very nature. And the world needs you to be yourself. You play an infinitely important role in the functioning and the evolution of the world. Your role carries out one of the five aims of life. Those five aims are sustenance, purpose, pleasure, wisdom, and freedom. And you are uniquely positioned for and charged with one of these roles, your particular role in carrying out one of these aims for the world. It is the key to your being fully alive. It is the key to designing a business in which you feel fully alive because it grows out of who you are by nature at the deepest level. And it is the key to contributing to the world what you've uniquely and specifically come to contribute. So I have offered you by email a Dharma Archetype quiz. You can take that to discover your Dharma archetype. And now in this call, I'm going to share with you where Dharma comes from, where the archetypes come from, why knowing your archetype is both powerful and practically useful. I'm going to illustrate this with sharing with you some stories from my own life. You'll be able to see how that's played out in one particular life, mine. We'll talk about why most business marketing and money programs are designed by and for one archetype. This isn't a coincidence. But because of this, they do end up in some regard either failing or frustrating or burning out the other archetypes. So we'll talk a bit about that, and we'll use that information and this framework to think about how to use your archetype to design a business for who you are by nature. And I will give you some information on working with me to do that if you feel called to do so. This time together today, it really has the potential to entirely shift how you understand your work and how you do business, to open up the path for your fully lived and fully expressed life. That's the power it had for me. It was like a window opened to a universal view, a much wider view than I ever could have had of my life and myself and my work. And it was like, oh, that's why. That is why I do it like this. And can never do it like that, okay? So that's why I do it like me, and I can't do it like I'm shown or like I've been modeled or like I see being done or think I see being done all over the place. So we will get into that. But first, I want to give you the opportunity to clear the way for some new insight, some new wisdom. I might be throwing new terms out for you. I want you to be able to have the space and the presence to take that in as it comes, and clear the way for what's next for you too. So let's begin together with a breath practice before we get into the content. This breath will clear out any staleness or stuckness that you have right now. Things tend to build up. We hold them in our bodies. We hold them energetically, and the breath is one of the key practices to clear that out, start to get things churning up and out so we can clear the way for new insights, new wisdom, and what's coming next for you. To find a comfortable seat, I recommend sitting on a cushion or on the couch or even on your bed, but definitely choose somewhere where you can sit cross-legged very comfortably. Sit up against a wall for support if you'd like. Just get yourself out away from your desk and give yourself this undivided time. This is a breath practice taught to me by my guru to push out staleness. If you haven't been on a call with me before, I'll just flag that the yoga I teach is Tantra. I'll explain a little bit more about that later. And I teach in a lineage which may be different from what you have experienced before. Tantra means continuum or thread, and it really relates to a continuous thread of energy. So when I say I teach in a lineage, it's an oral tradition that is passed down from teacher to student. So there's a master, someone who has acquired mastery, right, and passes that knowledge down and wisdom down to the student. But there's also an energetic passing, okay? So this is very powerful. You can think about it like generations of yogis who have acquired mastery coming down through me to you energetically and you being supported by that. So back to the breath. This breath practice was taught to me by my guru, and it's specifically to push out staleness. Before we do it, we'll start with some simple spinal breathing, by which I mean you'll breathe up. Imagine you can draw the breath from your tailbone inside the body, up the spine to the crown of the head. And when you exhale, you'll exhale that breath down, back down the spine and to the tailbone. That's what I mean by spinal breathing. And then at some point, I will cue you. We will be then holding the breath after the in-breath and leaning forward for a count of 7 between the inhale and the exhale. I want to flag this for you now, not because you need to remember it, but just to say that if you can only hold the breath for a count of 3 or a count of 5, that's perfectly okay. Do not forcefully hold the breath, okay? We want you to do what you're able to do. Instead, just rise up when you need to exhale, okay? So you're sitting up straight again, and just continue the breathing up and down your spine, folding again when we fold. So let's try it in practice. Again, adjusting into your comfortable seat, doing any wiggling you need to do, and then closing your eyes. And take a full breath in, gathering in all of your attention on the breath. And then exhale, letting anything you're holding on to roll out on the breath, on the exhale. Breathing in again, gathering your focus and attention on the breath coming in. And exhaling fully, intentionally allowing yourself to ride out on the breath anything you no longer need, anything that has happened before this call. Take a breath in now as if you could breathe in through your tailbone. The breath rises up your spine on the inhale to the crown of your head. And when you reach the crown, exhale the breath back down, imagining it tracing your spine back down to the tailbone. And then continue that breath cycle, breathing up, washing your spine with the breath upwards, and breathing down, washing the spine with the breath downward. Continuing to breathe that pattern, upward stroke on the inhale, downward stroke on the exhale. Imagining yourself now sitting in a great column of light, a light that extends infinitely above you and extends infinitely below you. And as the breath comes in at the tailbone, a great light follows it, a brighter light, rising up the spine to the crown on the breath. And on the exhale, tracing the spine back down to the tailbone. Continuing to breathe, flossing your spine with light. And now, on your next inhale, hold the breath gently. Take a full inhale and hold the breath gently. Fold forward at the waist. You're lowering your forehead toward the ground, hovering but not touching ground. And now rise back up with a straight spine, still holding the breath. And gently, without force, release the breath up the spine and out the top of the head. And on the in-breath, drawing the breath in, down from the crown, inside the body, filling the body up with breath. And holding the breath gently, fold forward once again, hovering the forehead. Om one, om two, om three, om four, om five, om six, om seven, rising back up to a straight spine and releasing the breath up and out the top of the head. And then inhaling one last time, filling the body with breath, holding the breath in and folding forward. Om one, om two, om three, om four, om five, om six, om seven, om eight. Rising up and releasing the breath up and out the top of the head. And then taking another deep breath in, taking a full breath, feeling the oxygenation of the body. And exhale, raising your hands up above your head, giving it a good stretch. And draw your hands together, rub them, creating some heat. And place hands over your eyes for a moment, just blinking the eyes open and shut a few times. And then you can release the hands, open your eyes, coming back to the call. So this is Tantra. And as I said, Tantra means continuum or thread. And it is a set of powerful spiritual practices that deliberately use and transform energy to directly experience the divine. So if you were to summarize an understanding of Tantra, it would be energetic and it would be experiential. Okay, it's an energetic and experiential spiritual practice. For those of you who don't yet know me, I'm a yoga teacher, obviously. I'm also a business strategist and a business attorney. I integrate yoga and business practices into the yoga of entrepreneurship. And I mentor solo business owners along this radical path of business as spiritual practice. Because your business is part of your spiritual path, it's not separate. And yet we separate and we compartmentalize ourselves in this way. Your business is really fertile ground for actualizing your own freedom and fulfillment. If you're here right now or listening, your business is part of your dharma, your path of living fully from the depth of who you are. And I've been practicing and studying yoga for 14 years now. It has been intricately intertwined in my path as a big firm and government attorney who turned entrepreneur. And I'll share specifics with you about that experience as we go along today. You'll see my dharma archetype played out. The practices of yoga have shown me how to know exactly who I am without waiver. Through this experience, they've shown me how to get out of the way so my work can come through me, and how to offer that work in a way that's deeply attuned to my very nature, my dharma. When this happens, when you live your dharma, the struggle drops away. You experience flow. You experience fulfillment. You learn to face anything that comes your way with presence, with curiosity, with consciousness. And I want that for all of you. I want you to know exactly who you are, beyond ego and without waiver. I want you to know your infinite wholeness and the import of the work that comes through you from there. I want you to experience that freedom and fulfillment of knowing that and living that. I want you to live your dharma. I want you to feel like all of you, everything you have to give, every talent and passion has been squeezed out of you, expended in this thing of life. I know you want that for yourself, or you wouldn't be here. And again, if you'd like to work with me at any point to do that, I'll share with you toward the end of the call how you can do that. For now, we are going to spend this call on the content, talking about dharma. Your dharma is your essential nature, those particular and idiosyncratic qualities that make you, you. Your dharma is you acting out of your very nature. It's you acting out of who you are at the very deepest level. It's easier to understand this with a non-human example. Okay, it is the dharma of the bee to pollinate flowers and make honey. Okay, it is the dharma of fire to burn. Its qualities make it do what it does. It is designed for that purpose through and through. And what it does is inextricable from who it is. So are you. This works the same way. It can be a little more complicated to see than us humans, but our dharma works the same way. The divine, by which I mean infinite wholeness, in its infinite wisdom. Okay, you may call this spirit or source. You may call it God. You may call it pure consciousness. The name of this wholeness and infinite wisdom does not matter. It, the divine, manifests and acts in the world through you. I shared in my call last week on consciously mastering your five intelligences that this undulating vibration of the universe as a whole expresses as each of us in five energy sheets. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that call, and are curious about this, please take a listen. It is still available to you. Briefly, here, I'll share that these energy sheaths are how you experience your individuated soul in the material world. Okay, it's how you experience your soul as yourself, differentiated, individuated from the whole, the infinite whole. And that each of the five sheaths has its own intelligence. Okay, and you'll notice that you may be naturally gifted in one of these intelligences. It may be emotional, energetic, aesthetic, intellectual, or mystic, that you feel called to, that's your orientation, that you seem to have an exceptional natural inclination and talent in, kind of your mode of operation. And this is not accidental. This is because each of these intelligences is particularly suited to carry out one of the five aims of life: sustenance, purpose, pleasure, wisdom, or freedom. Okay, this intelligence, it allows you to play your infinitely important role in the functioning and evolution of the world. So in the pages that follow the Dharma archetype quiz, you'll discover your archetype, obviously. You'll discover your soul's aim. What is the purpose? What is the aim? What aim of life does your Dharma archetype carry out? And your natural intelligence, what you bring to bear on that in order to do that. Yoga is almost entirely concerned with this, with Dharma, okay, with living fully, okay, fully expressed, fully experiential, fully on your way toward knowing yourself wholly as not separate from that which is divine or anyone else. And the practices of yoga cultivate the soul awake, okay? They are the means by which we ask the soul to come forward. So they actually, the most accurate way to describe it is that they are the means by which we clear away everything that's masking, okay, the soul, the masking who we actually are. So, and its practices cultivate this awakeness, the soul being awake and living in the world. Cultivates it right now in the middle of your life. There's no need to wait for anything else. There are no better circumstances than life right now to seek this and to experience it. And the practices of yoga help us find out who we are at that level and be that entirely, fully and entirely. Not just because it's liberating for you, which it is, but because woven together, the Dharma of each of us is the very fabric of the world. Taken together, all of the Dharma archetypes create a fulfilling and a prosperous life for all. So being you is the key to you being happy, free, fulfilled. And it is the key to everyone else being happy, free, and fulfilled. The world needs you, and the world needs you to be yourself, utterly. The Bhagavad Gita is the sacred yogic and Vedic text on Dharma, okay? There's a whole book, at least one book, okay, dedicated just to Dharma, so central. And the Bhagavad Gita is it, and it says this: the attempt to live out someone else's dharma brings extreme spiritual peril. It is better to fail at your own dharma than succeed at someone else's. Extreme spiritual peril. The Christian Gnostic Thomas said it even more potently, believe it or not. He said, if you bring forth what is within you, it will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. this is what I understand now my guru meant when she took one look at me in 2009 and said, you're living someone else's life. This stops right now. Not living my Dharma, not bringing forth what was in me was destroying me. I mean, her reaction, that statement felt, it felt so serious for a situation which on the surface was like, well, I just got laid off from my job. Like, what do you mean? I had just gotten laid off from a large law firm where I'd been part of a group that arbitrated and settled security fraud cases. Okay, this was in the aftermath of the collapse in 2008. I was turned around. I did not want, and I could not find another law firm job. This had been my second attempt at big firm security lawyer life, the first having left me dangerously depleted and clinically depressed. This law firm lawyer life, this was the calling of the purpose archetype, a calling for a warrior. And that, I was disappointed to say, was not me. I knew it had never truly been a fit. Okay? It wasn't square on. I was a creator as a child, a voracious learner, and a wild recombinator of things. An artist, a writer, a contemplator. You know, I was the kid whose teacher would give an assignment and I'd hand it back in and the teacher would be like, I didn't even know I gave that assignment. Because I just make stuff my own. I have piles of journals and books. I have boxes of sketchbooks and paint supplies. I am equally the wisdom and the freedom archetypes, as it turns out. I am not the purpose archetype. But I could not see a path through to livelihood for this. Okay, I didn't know anything about the archetypes. I just knew about me, and I knew that I was pretty lost, and that I didn't have a guide for that kind of life. I did not have an example of someone who lived a life pursuing or recombinating all of these things that I loved, okay, where I felt like I was being the really essence of who I am. And those who had done this seemed to me very, very far off and to have had the privilege of not needing income. Okay, that's how they appeared to me. I did not see a path through to this that supported my life, my livelihood, my well-being in the material world. But by contrast, I was poised, groomed really, by an Ivy League education and a top 25 law review spot to be, you know, a sharp, stylish attorney. I had gone through a pretty strong purpose phase in my late teens and early 20s. I was sharp, passionate, focused. I cared deeply about justice. I could craft a tight argument, and I had the presence and the voice to deliver it. So why could I not live that life with what felt like any joy or any grace or frankly any health? Dharma, I've come to understand, is the answer to that. Stephen Cope is the director of Kripalu Center for Extraordinary Living, and he has written a book called The Great Work of Your Life. In it, he says, it's a curious thing about Dharma. It's almost all about aim. I had a problem of aim. I did not know how and where to aim, so I let my aim be directed. And being a lawyer in a large firm in a litigation department was where I landed. So your Dharma archetype is about guiding your aim. So that you can live squarely in your Dharma. It's about understanding at an archetypical level, well, that transcends, you know, who we are as individuals, and that we understand very deeply and psychologically and psychically, what our path is, who we are, okay? And it is about guiding your aim. There are three key things that go into Dharma aim. I think I just coined a new phrase there, Dharma aim. Gift, size, approach. Okay, your Dharma archetype gives you insight into each of these. Okay, but for the purposes of designing a business, it's significant today for us to focus on approach. In my experience and observation, most business coaches and programs do encourage you to name your gift, okay, to identify it and name it. In this aspect, knowing your Dharma archetype can help you identify and value those aspects of your gift that may seem illusory or intangible, those things that are just you being you, how your natural intelligence expresses itself, for example. Not everyone can do what you do the way you do it, really. You just can't see it. The archetype is helpful in identifying your gift in that sense. Likewise, most business coaches and programs have something to say about the size of your Dharma, okay? In the online business world, so often it's go big, take your business to the next level, make a quantum leap. The message being you're not thinking big enough and you're keeping yourself small, and that is why you're not having the success that you want. Okay, only a couple of exceptions to this message come to mind. It's pretty ubiquitous in the way that it is presented. You're infinitely vast, okay? You are who you are, and what you have to contribute is massive. Let's be clear about that. But let's also be clear that that doesn't mean big, capital B, capital I, capital G, is the right size of your Dharma, and therefore your business. Your business follows your Dharma. If your Dharma is the essence of who you are, then it cannot do anything else and bring you freedom and fulfillment. There will be something that is off. There will be depletion. There will be overwork. There will be dissatisfaction. There will be no money. There, something will show up to keep you from experiencing what you set out to experience when you embarked on this adventure of owning your own business. I say this from a place of having worked with 6 coaches, okay, in various capacities. Some I worked with personally, or at a retreat, or in a program. Okay, so there's been a variety of modes. 6 coaches, 5 of them in the online space over the last 5.5 years, and I watched this space with curiosity. I watch the messaging. I watch the offerings. I feel the energy. All of this I'm taking in, okay, against this background of 14 years of practicing and studying yoga and a lifelong intense obsession with my own Dharma. Okay, I'm like, nothing else will do except for living fully in this, except for expending fully, finding out who I am and expressing that fully. Nothing less than feeling the fulfillment of full self-actualization is going to do. And I've felt this from a very young age. So I'm kind of observing and taking part in all of this from that perspective. And so given all that, in my experience and observation, what I see is that most business marketing and money coaches and programs don't take what I'm calling Dharma orientation into account. Don't take the orientation part of Dharma into account. So let's talk about orientation and why that is. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to equate your Dharma archetype to what I mean by orientation, okay? So I'm just going to use the frame Dharma archetype. And when I do, from here on out, this is what I mean. Two things, your business orientation and your money relationship. I've set out some paraphrasing or key ways to understand that in the PDF handout under your archetype. Your business orientation is how you naturally relate to your work and your business. What is it you actually want out of it? What is its reason for being? So in other words, what is your soul really doing here? Okay. This, of course, is related to your soul's aim in life, the role you're uniquely designed for and charged with. So each archetype, the reason for their business being in existence and what they want to do through it is going to be different because they're charged with playing a different role. They are of a different nature than someone else, okay? Your money relationship is how money works for you archetypically, okay? Money doesn't work the same for all of us. This is, again, I feel like this is a controversial truth. And as controversial as you cannot choose to be anyone you want to be. But it doesn't. Money works according to our Dharma. The ancient yogis knew this, but we seem to have forgotten. And when it works differently than the paradigm that we see or are being told about or is being sold to us about how to rectify any kind of glitches or shame or whatever, now, this isn't everybody. I feel like I need to make that distinction. I'm going to go into the reasoning for this, and I think it'll become clear that in this talk or in this framework, in no way am I trampling on anybody else's Dharma. That is, their programs and offering are coming from their sincere Dharma path. It's just that not everyone has the same one. Now, I do know, and I have guest speakers in my year-long program who work on money relationships in a very personal and conscious way. So certainly there's money work itself being done differently than this. But really my point here is that there's a relationship of us to money that comes out and through our Dharma, that plays out as our Dharma archetype, and that we used to have this wisdom, okay? The ancient yogis had that wisdom, but we seem to have forgotten it and that it is hurting us, okay? We've lost something because of it. So let's see what we can gain by getting back to this knowledge. So there is, you know, there is a reason that it appears that money operates the same for all of us, or that it appears that most business and marketing programs don't take orientation into account. One reason for this is that in the United States, we live in a country with a pleasure archetype. Okay, countries and eras, they have Dharma, just like peoples do, and therefore they have Dharma archetypes. They are of a certain nature, okay, that means they function and play out and act a certain way. And it's all, again, about that story of the evolution of the world. So we live in a pleasure archetype country. Okay, so that is the backdrop against which we are creating, or within which the environment in which we are coming forth with our work. Most business, marketing, and money programs are created by those with a pleasure archetype, okay, teaching how money and business work for them. This isn't accidental. Pleasure archetype is the one whose special intelligence it is to value resources and move them around. If you look at the PDF, I've listed out, you know, what the natural intelligences are for each. And the third archetype I set out is the pleasure archetype. And you'll see that this is what people of the pleasure archetype are designed to do. They're highly skilled at valuing and reallocating resources, and they do this through persuasion. Okay, pleasure archetype people are natural salespeople. They're natural storytellers. They're masters of tension, okay, lovers of pleasure and luxury. And they feel called, okay, to provide for the world. Like, they're certain, okay, they're certain of it. They will impact the world, okay, and they're right. They're right in this. The role of the pleasure architect is to create the conditions through the allocation of resources to allow everyone to enjoy life, okay? They elevate us from just taking care of our very basic needs to actually going, oh my God, how can we enjoy this thing of being in a human body and living a human life? The pleasure archetype is completely, for this reason, completely and squarely within its dharma to acquire money and wealth for its own sake, okay? It is part of its dharma to work with money squarely and directly. And it because it is with money as an exchange that it gives back, that this archetype gives back to the world. So you can see, I think, as I describe this, how the languaging that we often see around business and around money comes out of this. Desire, effort, emotion, okay, value. Generosity, the exchange of giving and receiving. All of these are how money works for the pleasure archetype. Okay, and they're masters of this very naturally. There's nothing wrong with this. And in a pleasure culture like ours, I also want to say that we all, whatever our archetype, need to understand and gain some proficiency, okay, in the intelligence of the pleasure archetype. Because that is the environment that we live in, and our very well-being, our material, the stability of our material well-being is dependent upon that as business owners. It's just that for those of us who are not the pleasure archetype, this approach stops short of getting us to living fully. And it gives us only one model of business that's not squarely in our dharma. So, like me in the role of big firm litigator, each of us who are not a pleasure archetype but are in business for ourselves can be confronted by a gap between what we're being taught or what seems to be working for others, okay, who may be pleasure archetypes, and it not working so well for us. Okay, so like me in the role of big firm litigator, it's a question of aim. Okay, the orientation part of aim. So if we take a look at the PDF and at each one of the archetypes, let's take a look at how we might shift our orientation. Okay, from one of direct. Now, when I say that the pleasure archetype has a direct relationship with money, what I mean is, yes, they have a direct fair exchange. Let's look at that one first. Business orientation of the pleasure archetype is a clear exchange of massive value. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I have heard that exact phrase, massive value. Okay? Big impact, massive impact and value. Okay, this is the world that the pleasure archetype lives in and creates. This is its dharma, okay, and they are sharing that with you. names for the pleasure archetype reflect that: mogul, gourmand, entertainer, sensualist, okay? Merchant, if you think about merchant in the old kind of ancient way, Marco Polo kind of way, the traveler and exotic, and there's an exchange, and they're experiencing kind of indulgences perhaps in life. That's what it is. So business is a clear exchange, massive value. Okay, we're exchanging resources. We're allocating resources around here. Money relationship is acquire money and wealth for its own sake. Say, I want to make $1 million in my business. I'm going to set that out there. That's it. That's what I'm doing. Okay, and I'm everything is kind of coming in toward that being a clear and stated goal, and that is my orientation. Okay, that is my desire. I'm going to feel that deeply. I'm going to associate it with what I'm going to do with that money, what I'm going to buy, how I'm going to live. I'm going to evoke that emotion in me so that that emotion will resonate, okay, and create a vibration or a frequency that then I will gain. I will exchange my value for that same amount of value in money. I hope that you can, that this languaging is familiar to me. It's certainly familiar to you. Certainly how I'm kind of witnessing this dynamic, the spiritual vibrational aspects of money being talked about. Okay, but the other side of this pleasure archetype is, you know, give back joyously and generously. The ego trap of the pleasure archetype is it's not enough. Okay, so there can be the falling over into greed. There can be the tightness around it, the more, more, more. So the antidote to that is to give back joyously and generously. Let's compare the business orientation of a clear exchange of massive value with some of the others to see how it creates a shift. And see if when you recognize your archetype, whether or not the way I'm describing this rings any bells or creates any feeling of coming into a knowing about something, about yourself being true. The sustenance archetype. Traditionally, that is called the laborer. I have also, you can understand this archetype as caregiver, crafter, healer, or lover. Their natural intelligence is intuiting needs. They work very close to the body and the earth. And their business orientation, because of this, is handcrafted with love, care, and devotion. The sustenance archetype benefits from the knowledge and experience and path of the pleasure archetype. Okay, their evolutionary path is learning the intelligence of the pleasure archetype. So, programs that teach this can teach the sustenance archetype to own the value of their work. Okay, we hear that very often. We need to own the value of our work. Evoke emotion, sales. We want to elevate the emotion because that's how sales are made. It's an emotional decision. We hear that in marketing programs a lot. So these techniques or these types of intelligence really are going to help the sustenance archetype go from doing something and not earning a lot, right, creating a handcrafted type of business and not earning a lot, to owning the value of that and increasing your income. But keep your devotion to the work. Okay, because that's really your natural inclination. So all of that is to say that a business program that is created by a pleasure archetype can be very beneficial and a good fit for a sustenance archetype. We'll move on now to the purpose archetype. Purpose here, and really the name of this archetype has to do with the aim of life called Dharma. Okay, we're talking about Dharma, your purpose. And there is an aim of life that is Dharma. Dharma is a challenging word to actually translate. It does mean purpose. It also means law. It also means essence. It means kind of righteousness in some regard. So I've used the word purpose here to be consistent with how we talk about our path, how we use Dharma as our purpose in life. But this archetype, the purpose archetype, is concerned not just with any purpose, but with a just purpose. They're concerned with order, okay, with justice, with what is right. Okay, so it's sort of like purposeful living. Traditionally, this archetype is called the warrior archetype. Other archetypes are the advocate, the champion, the leader, the activist. I'll describe the essence of the purpose archetype. Their soul's aim is to pursue and defend, right, a just purpose or rightful living. And their natural intelligence is energetic. It's focusing and expending your energy in order to bring about this purpose, in order to bring about this goal, in order to defend its rightful way of doing or living. So the business orientation, you can see, comes directly out of this. Great business orientation for a purpose archetype is something that's single-pointed and is built up or grows up around a passionate cause. All right, something that you have to happen in to change the world. It's like, this is the wrong I see, and I need to do something about it immediately and passionately. The money relationship for the purpose archetype is really shifting. You would think that being goal-oriented, that they could be sort of productively or successfully similar to the pleasure archetype and say, I'm going to make, you know, $100,000 in my business this year or whatever it is, and hit that goal. Okay, the problem it comes in is that is where they force to be able to do this. Okay, the money relationship shifted to the purpose so that the money earned comes out of going toward this purpose, as opposed to the purpose being oriented with the goal of making this money. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a flip. It might sound subtle to you, but the reason for this is that the ego trap of the purpose archetype is money is my power, and that is not where their power, where your power lies as a purpose archetype. It lies in expending and focusing your energy in order to accomplish the goal. So focus on your just purpose and allow yourself to be compensated for working toward and creating not just purpose, okay, but don't make money your just purpose. That's the difference. And the other key piece would be acquiring knowledge and discernment in earning and spending. So treat the money like you do your energy. Okay, master its acquisition and its spending in a way, in the same way that you can focus and expend your energy. We already took a look at the pleasure archetype. The wisdom archetype, traditionally called the educator, also the sage, the shaman, the luminary, the guide. Your soul's aim as a wisdom archetype is to enlighten. Your natural intelligence is distilling and articulating wisdom. Okay, distill and articulate wisdom and really counsel or encourage others to come into greater wisdom. Your business orientation then is a platform to guide toward deeper wisdom. Okay? And your money relationship here is related to your evolutionary path. Okay, everybody's money relationship. I should have stopped and said that. Everyone's money relationship is related to your evolutionary path. And the reason for that is money, like everything else in life, is just, it's just a tool. It's just a thing that you relate to in order for your soul to do whatever work and whatever dance it's going to do. Okay, so Dharma, if you think about it as a path, it's not just kind of what you were built to do and what you have to contribute to the world. It's also the path you take to learn what your soul needs to learn. So it's kind of very cool and multidimensional in that way, in that by doing what you were designed to do and what brings you contentment and a fulfilled life, you are also allowing your soul to learn what it needs to learn here and now in this lifetime. So money, because it exists in the material world and we're having a relationship with it, is one piece of how we do that. Okay, so your money relationship of your archetype will relate to your path of evolution. So the wisdom archetype's path of evolution is surrender and detachment. Okay, you're going to learn the intelligence of the purpose archetype. You're going to learn that ability, practice that ability of focusing and expending your energy very consciously and powerfully. The wisdom archetype has very broad interests, very broad knowledge. That's why they can distill wisdom. Okay, they have a broad enough view from a lot of different sources that they can kind of weave it, synthesize it together, and come into deeper understanding from that. That's their strength. Because of that, they're dispersed. Their focus can be dispersed, and so it is very helpful for them along their path to start to learn from those purpose archetype on how to focus their energy. The same with money. Master the allocation of your energy. Energy attuned earning, which I'm going to be talking about next week, is really very helpful and really key to the wisdom archetype being well supported in their business, okay, and feeling well supported materially, so that they have the room and the space to be able to explore what they need to explore in order to come back and understand and bring other people into deeper wisdom. So master the allocation of your energy as a way, think of your money as in the same way that you think of your energy. All right, do not strive. This is not an archetype to be setting a goal, a monthly, yearly, or weekly goal. Not the archetype to be setting a goal for your mailing list number. None of that is going to work for you. I can speak to you from experience. It just doesn't work that way. do not strive. Okay, the goal setting is for the purpose archetype. It's for the pleasure archetype, because they move stuff around really easily. It's, you know, kind of easy for them to hit those numbers. Those are the, like, you know, earn on demand, earn when you need it, people. It doesn't work that way for the wisdom archetype. It works through surrender, mastering the allocation of your energy and surrendering, okay, to the energy of the universe. I'm going to say it that way, surrendering to the energy of the universe. And what I mean is surrendering to the moment, saying I'm mastering my energy, I'm being very present, I've set up what I need to set up in my business in a way that works for me. Now I'm going to surrender to what is unfolding. I am going to watch. I'm going to attune to the energy. The wisdom archetype has the level of awareness and witnessing and wisdom to be able to work with that level of discernment. So surrender is both the spiritual evolutionary path and the business path of the wisdom archetype. And now the last archetype is the freedom archetype. Okay, the freedom archetype is traditionally called the outsider. And most freedom archetypes do start out experiencing themselves as an outsider of some kind. I was describing how I was recombinating things and learning things voraciously and creating. There was, during that same period of time, a profound sense of being an outsider, of being outside of my peers, of being outside of kind of even in some regard the way my family operated, just personality being somewhat different. That was definitely a strand. And all outsiders feel that strand in one way, shape, or form. It may be that you live in a foreign country. It may be that you speak a foreign language from where you live. There are lots of variations about how this can manifest in your experience. Freedom archetypes are the explorer, the visionary, the alchemist, the renegade. Your soul's aim is to liberate, okay, not just yourself, but all of us from societal limitations. Your natural intelligence in doing this is seeing what others do not do, okay? The evolutionary path is a little bit different, and it's based on being an outsider, be stepping back away, okay, and observing. And it's also related to, because of that situation or that experience, feeling like, well, it must be their fault, meaning the people who are kind of within the societal limitations or who are not identifying as, quote, the other. So the path for this is taking responsibility for your own path, your own choices, respecting the new perspectives that you can take, respecting and honoring the journey that has gotten you this far, and returning, coming back, having synthesized and offering something new to society. So your business orientation from that would be alchemy, okay, recombinating things into something new and unique. Another way to describe a business orientation for a freedom archetype is disruptive innovation. You hear it phrased that way a lot in the technology industry, where it comes in and it disrupts an entire industry, this new way of thinking about how to solve such and such a problem. And your money relationship as a freedom archetype, now, simply put, it's about honesty. Okay, the freedom archetype can lean to self-deception or deception of others, not really necessarily through the desire to do harm, but through hiding. The freedom archetype is a shapeshifter. Freedom archetype people often experience different phases. I mentioned that I had gone through a warrior phase. Certainly as a business owner, I have gone through and continue to go through a merchant phase. Freedom archetypes can shapeshift. Very good at blending in, very good at trying on new things for size to see if they fit. And this is all in the way of coming to their own understanding of what they uniquely have to offer. But because of that shapeshifting, they have a tendency to natural kind of inclination to hide. And so that can come out as a little bit deceptive in some areas. So the idea is to try and be very honest with yourself. The other component, which I haven't written down here, is the freedom archetype money relationship can also play out in the archetype that they take on. So in other words, some freedom archetypes choose to express or find their best expression kind of as one of the archetypes. So I said I was the freedom and the wisdom archetype. So an example of that would be me as the freedom archetype recombinating some stuff and offering it in a wisdom archetype way. And so then my relationship with money would be similar to the wisdom archetype. First, I'd have to get really honest. Okay, and then I would take a look at, well, wait a minute, what would happen if I were to think about my money as energy, master the allocation of it, and come up with, you know, an energy-attuned earning plan? Okay, what if I were to surrender to what's happening right now and not try and force the circumstances or create the results in my business? What if I open to what is supposed to come? What happens then? That would be an example of a freedom archetype finding expression as another archetype and having a money and business relationship like one of the other four archetypes. So after going over that briefly, I would like to share that any of the archetypes can be a solo business owner, any of them. And any of you can create a model that is squarely in line with your dharma. It's just a matter of understanding it and working with what that means, learning what you can about the valuation of your services, about the intelligence of the pleasure archetype, since business is the world that that operates in, but modulating that so that your business really operates and reflects what is true for your archetype. So what is true for you and who you are and how you interact with the world at a very deep level. So again, the sustenance archetype, the pleasure archetype are going to be very well served by business models, business programs and business coaches that are of the pleasure archetype. Okay, those two are well matched. The purpose archetype, the wisdom archetype, and the freedom archetype are probably going to have a challenging time. That's been my experience. And so it would behoove you to explore how knowing about these other archetypes, how you can build a model that's much closer, okay, to who you are by nature. That's really out of the very way that you are by nature. And so I will just leave it at that and ask you if you have any questions. I do have a year-long program that I will invite you to join once you've had a chance to digest all of this. That uses your archetype, really develops in you a sense of awareness, connection with your infinite wholeness through the practices of Tantra Yoga, so that you know, okay, without waiver who you are. So you have that well of wisdom, self-wisdom to draw upon and build out your business that way. You are actually, I will let you in on some I'll let you in on what's happening right now, okay? You are witnessing in me, okay, the unfolding of my archetypal business, okay, and my surrender into that. I realized yesterday that being a wisdom and a freedom archetype, I have made a lot of adjustments to my model, particularly in my law practice. But what I found was that in offering you all of this, I was still falling into using a purpose or a pleasure archetype model in there being a three-call series and in there being a sales page and in there being a deadline for the program to start and in my wanting a certain number of people to go there. So I'll just let you in, kind of open up the tent here and let you know that you're witnessing in full, in real time, my surrendering deeper into my own archetype and how my business really works. And it's played out really well in my law practice. I have a boutique law practice. It serves a very select, small number of clients, thought leaders. It serves them around their intellectual property to create higher earning and smoother running businesses, to leave a legacy. I serve, 8 to 12 clients a year. I work 8 to 12 hours a week. And this has all been through understanding myself through these practices and through this archetype and surrendering all of the things that I thought I was doing to make something happen, okay? So this idea of surrender has happened the hard way as I shared with the people who are in my program now or working with me now. It has been it's been the result of banging my head against the wall. It has been a fresh, how would I say? It has been a breeze, a breath of fresh air. It has surprised me at every single turn. And it keeps me fully attuned and in line with my soul and with devoting my work to the divine and knowing that I'm just opening myself to see what comes. So all of that is to say that I have made an adjustment in real time to opening up my year-long group work together. It's called the Yoga of Entrepreneurship Satsang. You can find out more information about it at www.ompreneur.com/satsang. That's S-A-T-S-A-N-G. But here's what's shifting. I'm now going to be taking enrollment by application. That enrollment is going to be rolling. There will not be a March 21st deadline. I am offering all of you a time to talk with me about where you are at, where your business is at, what your spiritual practice is, what you're wanting, how you would like to move squarely into your Dharma, what work feels like it's pressing up against your skin, and just see if it would be a fit. And we will, for those who it is a fit, we will start when that happens, and we will work together with those who come in later. So I can give you more information about that, but I just wanted to share with you that this is all an evolution process. And even when you think you have to do it some way, or you don't even know you think you have to do it some that way, which is what was happening to me, it's like I couldn't even see my own limited thinking around this. For a bit, there are other ways of doing it. There are other ways of doing it. And you know very, very deeply how it is you want and need to work, okay? So with that, thank you for being here, and I will open it up. We've been a little over the hour, but I will open it up in case there are any questions about any of this, any of the things we covered, any comments about how the archetypes are coming up for you, or if you have any questions about working with me going forward. So press star 6 if you have a question. And the line will open for you. Okay, I'm going to repeat that *6. If it happens not to work or you think of a question later, you can email me at info@ompreneur.com. And I will also be with you next Tuesday to talk about energy-attuned earning. Thank you so much for being here. I wish you all the best. Namaste.